And then you knew and I know. You should have told me, really. You got it going? All right. Good evening, y'all. All right. All right. We're going to go and begin 19 today. John 19 today. John chapter 19. Scorning the crown, the beating of Jesus. Pilate being doubtful, showing weakness. We're going to see the crucifixion and death of cross. And Joseph. All right, 19. Chapter 19. Man, you see scheme of redemption all through this here. I tell you what, you see prophecy of the 17 books there. You see Matthew 5:17. I came not to destroy, but I came to fulfill the law in relationship to looking at the first verse. Just the first verse. You know, you see so much, and we're going to look at a little bit and tie all this in. Scheme of redemption. I looked at that word scorn. You might want to write that Greek word down. It's mastigo. It's M-A-S-T-I-G-O-O. And the reason why I'm giving you this here, that we're going to go back to the Old Testament and look at some prophecies and bring it on to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as well as 1 Peter, receiving the fulfillment of prophecy in relationship to what happened in 19:1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scorned him. That is, they hit him, they flogged him, as to what that word mean, M-A-S-T-I-G-O-O. So let's go to Isaiah right quick. Let's look at some prophecy right quick to show you. Really, the reason why I want to show it you this is because we've been talking so much about the 5:12, 5:17 in relationship to the 39 in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth the Son under the law to redeem mankind for the sins of the world. So I want to begin Isaiah 50. And 50, if you want to chronologize it, you can. 50:6, and when you get to 50:6, you might want to know 53:5. 53:5, if you want to chronologize this here. I like doing that in fulfillment of Scripture. In Isaiah 50 and verse 6. Isaiah 50 and verse number 6. Okay? And then we'll go. And then we'll go to Isaiah 53:5. When you're talking about the Lord God opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And all this occurred, brother, in order for God's will to be done. Why? Because Luke 19:10, he came to seek and save that which was lost. Which was lost in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. All right, let's go to 53. 53 and verse 5, and we'll look at another scripture there, and I'm going to show you why he was talking about that. 53 and 5. And this way in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from out the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, but verse 5. And if you dare, you might want to note Psalms 129:3, and we're going to watch it, see it. But he was wounded for our transgression. By the word transgression, right? Genesis 3:15. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone away. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of his all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shear in silence, so he opened not his mouth, in fulfillment of prophecy as to what's happening here in John chapter 19. Let's go to Psalms 129 and 3. Psalms 129 and 3. Psalms 129 and 3. And let's see that again. Okay, and then we'll get into the text, but I want to show you that relationship to fulfillment of prophecy. John 129 and verse number 3. Here it says here, 129 and 3. Start reading verse 1. It says, many a time they afflicted me from my youth, let Israel now say, many a time they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not. The plows plow on my back, and they make their furrows long. And the Lord is righteous in cutting to pieces the course of the wicked. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turn back. Let them be as the grass on the housetop when withers before grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds shear his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord, or by his authority, based on what happened in relationship to his will being done. Now, let's go to grace and truth. Matthew 20. Matthew 20 and verse number 19. And we're going to see it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Matthew 20 and verse number 19. If you have Matthew 20 and verse number 19, you might want to denote. You might want to note Luke 18:33 by Matthew 20:19. Okay? All right. But in 17 and 18, right, Isaiah 2:4. The reason why I want you to write that there, because of fulfillment of prophecy, the law is going to go out of Zion. When we talked about Isaiah 49, out of Judah, the scepter would not leave Judah in relationship to Jesus being born. When it says, in Jesus going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said to him, behold, we go to Jerusalem as to the identifying marks, even Luke 24 and 45 through 49. When he talks about that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached beginning in the city of Jerusalem, is in fulfillment of Isaiah 2, 2, and 3 in relationship to the church of Christ being established. Where? In the city of Jerusalem. I call these identifying marks, okay? I just went back and showed you that to tie in verse 19 as to what we're saying. Because all these identifying marks, as the people say, well, where are y'all headquarters? Our headquarters in heaven. Where did the Church of Christ begin? Began in the city of Jerusalem, and according to Isaiah 2:2, amen, a prophecy. Now, verse 19 says, in fulfillment of what we're talking about, is that it's delivering him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he shall rise again. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, let's go to Luke 18:33. Luke 18:33. And then we'll get back to our lesson and you'll see what I'm talking about. Luke 18:33. All right? And yet Luke 18:33, I want you to know Mark 10:34. Mark 10:34. By Luke chapter 18 and verse 33. Okay? Just to note, Mark chapter 10 and verse 34. That we see it in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they shall scorn him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. See, we see the same thing in synopsis of the Gospel. But the reason why I'm going there, so we can see scheme of redemption. A lot of times people can't see truth because they don't see purpose. See, you can't see the church if you don't understand the 33. See, you understand what Isaiah is saying, if you don't understand what the summit is saying, or even you don't understand what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is saying, you're not going to understand the book of Acts. Because it all hinges upon those things, Romans 15:4, were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. See, how can you understand Jesus' death when you don't even know how many books in the Bible? You see, and that's what I'm saying now. So when you go to Luke chapter 18 and verse 33, we see that, and then let's go to Mark 10:34, and then we'll go back to John 19. I hope you see what I'm saying. Mark 10:34. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 34, and then we'll go back. There's a Mark 10:34 here again. See, a fulfillment of prophecy. See, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law, and according to Matthew 5:17. And you need to put that in your note in relationship to fulfillment of the 17 of Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44. See, I came not to destroy, but I came to fulfill. Fulfill what? Fulfill all 17 books of prophecy. And even here in Isaiah 53 and 50 and Psalms 129, we see it being done. Even, you can say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, because that's a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies too. Okay? So look what it says here in Mark 10:34. It says, and they shall mock him, and shall scorn him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and on the third day he shall rise again. See, so we know just by all these scriptures went to, well, what John said in John 19:1 shouldn't be a surprise. Because it's a fulfillment of scripture. It had to happen in order for God's will to be done. Because any of those scriptures that we went to did not come to reality where the Bible is a fake. The Bible is not true. And most times when we study the Bible, when we can mispurpose when we don't understand what is the will of God. You got that? Okay, now let's go back to John and let's continue to read. Okay? All right, verse number one. I spent a lot of time on that word scorn. The reason why I spend so much time is because I want us to see purpose. If we don't see it, you're going to miss everything else. Because you don't see purpose about his death, you're not going to see the purpose why we don't use instrumental music, why we partake of the Lord's Supper. Every facet of the church has a reason. And they're all fulfilled in the Bible. And then we got to go learn how to what? Right divide the word of the truth. Okay? So look at verse 2. And the soldiers spat a crown of thorns, okay, and put it on the head, and they put on him a purple robe. I went back and looked at something. I want you to look at two scriptures here. I want to go to Genesis. Okay? Chapter 3. And tie that in to Revelation chapter 19. And the reason why I want to tie that in, because when it says here, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, a crown signified royalty and majesty as he being a king. But how they made it out of a crown of thorns, it also signified pain and degradation. Two facts. Number one, they was mocking him to be a king of kings, to be the king of the Jews, and they did it with, as they said here, they put him on a purple robe. Purple signifies royalty. A crown signifies royalty. But they just didn't take a crown and set it up on Jesus' head. The Bible, Holy Spirit, let us see that they plaited a crown of thorns. See, and they put it on his head to bring about pain, shame, and hurt. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. I want to read something to you in Genesis chapter 3. After man disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, the consequences of what God told them in verse 17 of Genesis 3, and that same curse that God cursed the ground with, they had the audacity to make a crown of thorns with that Jesus used for him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And look what it said beginning in verse 17. Is it unto Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I command you, and by that tree, right, Genesis 2, 15 to 16, you shall not eat of. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns, what did they plait his crown out of? Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. They meant it to be ugly. They mean it to be a mockery. They meant it to bring shame upon Jesus. But that same thing that they meant to be ugly, Jesus turned it into good. Because go to Revelation right quick. I want you to read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 16 what we're saying here. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 16. Because of prophecy and because of what we read in Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 50 and Psalms 129 and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even though they meant it by what? By mocking Jesus, guess what? He did become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ain't that wonderful? See, he did become the king. Not only a king for the Jews, but he became king for all mankind. Revelation chapter 19. I want you to see it. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 16. Let's go right quick. Revelation 19 and verse number 16. All the time I hear people say, I don't like the book of Revelation because the book of Revelation is scary. Man, the book of Revelation is victory. Amen. Because in Revelation chapter 19 and beginning in verse number 16, look what he says here. He said, I heard as it were, I mean 16, I'm sorry, and he has on his vestments and on his thigh a name written. Now, by the word name, right, Matthew 28, 18, 19. Why? Because all authority and all power was given to him, Ephesians 1, 22, 23, Colossians 1, 18, to be the head of the church. See, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See why? They mocked him by plaiting thorns, that same thorn that cursed them because of the sin that they committed in the Garden of Eden. That same thing that they made mockery of, they made fun of, made him to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Go to me in Philippians chapter 2. One more verse. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to read that. Because in Philippians chapter 2, he used the phrase, every knee and tongue shall bow. Shall bow. Over Philippians chapter 2. Beginning in verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2 and 1 through 5. That in the name of Jesus, he shall be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Philippians chapter 2. See, and beginning reading in verse number 5. He said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not to be robbed to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the foul fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to death on the cross. Now look at verse 9. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him, Revelation 19, 16, to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and given him a name which is above every name. See, they mocked him to be, they put a purple robe on him. See, they mocked him, they hurt him, but see, that same mockery came to true based on what we saw in Isaiah 53, Isaiah 50, Psalms 129, Matthew 10, Luke 18, in relationship to fulfilling the prophecy. See, look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, see, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I wonder, and I know the answer, that when they did this, they knew that this was going to happen. No, they did not. Even though they were students of the law. And the reason why I'm going to say that, because when you drop down to verse number 7, see, when you drop down to verse number 7, they're going to bring up, you violated the law. Well, if they knew so much about the law, Well, why didn't they know about Isaiah 53? Why didn't they know about Isaiah 50? Why didn't they know about what Psalms wrote in Psalms 129? If they knew so much about the law, if they was concerned about Jesus as to the reason why they was crucifying him, in verse 7, we'll see it. They say, well, we're doing this here because you violated the law. Well, why didn't they know that what the prophet said in relationship to Shiloh coming? You see the point that I'm making? Sometimes we use scripture for our own advantage to do what we want to do in order to feel our own desires and our wants. See? But I thought that was kind of coincidental. See, it might not be a good word, but the best word to use is a fulfillment of God's will and purpose that was preordained before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:3. That is, that he came into this world to seek and save that which was lost, to be, as Revelation 19:16 said, King of kings, Lord of lords. And I like how they use the word name, Terry. He always throw the word name by the name of Jesus. See, to signify that no other name could done it but the name of Jesus. See, so he took something bad that happened in Genesis 3, that when they did sin, there was consequences for that sin, but still the Holy Spirit can use something negative to make positive, if it's, as long as it fit in with God's word. So let's go back to John 19, and I hope you're seeing what I'm seeing, because I want to continue to read. So, John 19. So what it says here again, it says, and the soldiers plotted a crown of thorns. By the way, let's write in your Bible Genesis 3 and 17 to signify what that means and tie that back to Revelation 19, 16. See, the same ground that was cursed was the same material used to degradate. Sometimes we are blessed with the blessings of God, and we use those same blessings to curse God with. You ever thought about that? See, sometimes we use the goodness of God, because everything anywhere belonged to God anyway, in spite of what people say. Because it was all made by him from the beginning. Because in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So everything that God made, when we see creation, was good. So God blessed all of us, because the Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust, amen? Hoping that they will come to our repentance. So people are blessed, we are blessed, but we use God's goodness and God's blessings to curse God or go against God. When, like the old folks say, we need to count our many blessings and see how good God really is. So just write that there if you like to. And I like that over in Genesis 3, 18, 17, as well as Revelation Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. Okay? And look at verse 3. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they spoke him with their hand. Pilate, therefore, went forth again. And he said, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. And then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. And when the chief priest, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, We have a law. Now, if they knew so much about the law, and you know what they were talking about, and they were talking about the law. See, Exodus 20:7, Thou shalt have no other God before me, Deuteronomy 5:7, Isaiah 44:6. See, if they knew so much about the law, they understood the law of Moses. See, that's the thing that gives me. You say you're a Christian, you ought to be able to back it up, amen? If you say you're a Jew, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, if you're a Jehovah Witness, and you want to hold on to the law, well, live by the law. Don't be wishy-washy by the law. See, they're going to be wishy-washy. See, because, see, they didn't understand the law. Because, see, if they're going to say in verse number 7, look what he says, and the Jews answer him, we have a law. Well, if you're going to bring the law up, you ought to know the law. Don't that make sense? Because the problem was, the fault was, that they was getting Jesus for blasphemy by saying that he's king of kings, he's king of the Jews. But see, they didn't understand the kingdom that Jesus was going to build was not a kingdom of this world, but it was a spiritual kingdom. Same thing in the church today. See, people cannot separate spirituality from carnality. See, one of the worst things that we have done over society is misuse the word church. And the reason why, people say church building. People put too much emphasis on the building. See, a church building got to have pews. It got to have a roster. It got to look like a church building. I remember when we were down in the house over there in Central Park, and some of those older people who have gone on now, they used to tell me all the time, and especially when we moved in this building, they said, Brother Lyle, we're sure glad we got a church building. Because they just didn't want to die and have their funeral in their house. But I used to tell them, I said, well, it's just a building. It's just a building. But see, they just couldn't. They saw a house. It didn't look like no church. It didn't have no pews. It didn't have no roster. And look, there wasn't nothing but a house. And they just couldn't understand, Terry, that it's not the house, it's not where we worship. Because it's all about spirit and in truth. See, and that's the same thing about the church. See, we have taken the church and we've made the church to be more important than the message. And that's not right. Same thing here. They brought the law, but they didn't know what the law was. Now, they may have known Exodus 20. They may have known Deuteronomy 5. They may have known thou shalt not have no God. But they didn't know enough to the law, because they knew enough for the law. They would have knew what all the prophets said. They would have knew what the prophets had been prophesied. And they would have known what Jesus was and who Jesus was and why he came. That was to seek and save. That was. Oh, go ahead, Terry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had that same conversation with somebody the other day. That's it. Yeah. I had that conversation with a sister in Christ the other day. And she asked the question about the Lord's Supper. And I was explaining 1 Corinthians 11 to her and trying to get her to see the purpose behind it. And she kept saying, well, what do y'all do on Sunday evening? I said, well, we sing and we pray and we study. She said, you preach? I said, well, if you want to call it that, yeah. She says, well, you're missing two things. I said, you don't understand that worship could be, well, me and my wife can have a Bible study. Because when we worship, we're worshiping in God. Literally, you can worship by yourself. When you pick up this week and you've been studying and reading the book of Judges, and you say, well, I'm going to pray before I read today, and you pick up your Bible and you start reading, well, you are worshiping. That word worship simply means to give allegiance, to give adoration. That's right. That's it. That's right. Right. Well, you know, letting your light shine. How people see us. being salt. I believe Brother Clark gave a beautiful example when he talked about Christians in the workplace, how we're supposed to be ambassadors. I mean, that word has stuck with me, you know, in relationship to how people see us. Because, see, the only way people are going to see Christ, think about this here, is through Christians. Now, when I use that word, I don't use it loosely. When I use Christians, like in Acts 11:26, they were first called Christians at Antioch. That word has strong meanings. Y'all with me? Which simply means you're Christ-like, right? You have the attributes. But your Christian life reflects the book. In all Christians, all people in the church life don't reflect the book, which make them erring Christians. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Because see, anytime you transgress and don't repent, or anytime you partake of that evil deed and don't repent, at that point you're erring. See, so what, look at this way. How many people do you know on your job, Don, that confess to be Christians? I mean, how many people on your job confess to be Christians? I mean, just think about that. Most of everybody who don't even go to church. Haven't been to church in years. But they say, I'm a Christian. Steve Harvey, that's his name? I mean, I've seen him on TV cursing, rage, and all kind of stuff. And then he'll say, don't y'all look at me. He said, I was brought up a Christian. My mama was a Christian lady. And I'm still a Christian. He said, I just choose to do what I do. But he still say he's a Christian. Y'all know what I'm saying? So the word is you. Wording like you use worship. See, like they use the law. See, like they said here in verse number 7. We have a law. Well, you do have a law. Well, so what? Now, if you're going to judge Jesus by the law, well, know the law. See, just don't take one part of the law, and the part of the law that they took was that he was blaspheming. He said that he king of the Jews. See, don't say just that, but you got to understand, well, why did he say that? Well, if you understood the 17 books of prophecies and knew that, even before then, you go back to Genesis 12, Genesis 17, and Genesis 49, and you see the seed promise understood under the Pentateuch. Brother, you understood what Jesus was saying here. But like so many people, see, they was doing what they want to do. See, and you know another sad thing about this, and we'll move on. See, most of these people who followed the mob, who was hollering, crucify him, they didn't know what they was talking about. They're just doing it because everybody else was doing it. You know, it's like tonight, you know, I heard on the news at 12 o'clock, Donna McClurkin and some more people are going to be a big thing at the Kelly Ingram Park tonight. TBN, I think, is the station going to broadcast in this empowerment week that they are doing. And the mayor asked everybody to cancel their service. Maybe that's where everybody at. I just not thought about that. Maybe they thought we canceled. I wonder where everybody was. Just not thought about that. But anyway, he asked everybody to cancel their service. And everybody come down to the Kelly Ingram Park tonight. And then they were talking about that it's going to be big traffic and parking cars at Legion Field. And they got a shuttle that bring you from Legion Field down to Kelly Ingram Park. And I got to thinking about that. And I said, well, just because the mayor asked me, a clergy, or whoever it may be, to tell your congregation to come down to Kelly Ingram Park, do that make it right? Would it befeel spirit and in truth? John 4:24? I mean, would it violate my understanding of what worship is? We talk about worship. You understand what I'm saying? Will it violate that if I didn't know? Now, if I didn't know, or if I didn't have no understanding, if I'm like the masses that go, and you watch the evening news tonight, And it's gonna be tens of thousands of people. It's a free concert. I mean, it's often you're gonna get Clifton Davis and Donnie McClurkin and what's the other lady name? I can't think of her name. All their brothers and sisters sing. CC Winham, yeah, CC Winham, thank you. CC Winham, all that ain't gonna be a free concert. But the point that I'm trying to make is this here. I said, Because see, what we're doing here, even though it ain't for seven of us here, is more powerful than what they're doing here, because what we're doing is spirit and in truth. What we're doing is what true worship is. Because look what we did. We sung and make melody in our heart to the Lord. He offered a beautiful prayer, and we all prayed together. And we have studied together. We have studied the scriptures together. What's more powerful than that? That's what worship is all about. Amen. To be caught up in something that we know going to violate the word of God. You see what I'm saying? But it's the work of the devil. See, don't go back and say that to nobody tomorrow. Please don't. Especially if they tore the roof off tonight. You call me and say that you on your own. Okay, so you see what I'm saying? So, and Terry, you're good at that, and I love it. Since you've been around me, wording how you man wording, and how you look. I didn't look at words like that until now. I look at words a little bit more. But he said, look at verse 7. Man, time on ran out. He said, the Jews answered him and said, we have a law. And by the law, he ought to die, because the punishment for blaspheming was death. Was death. Because he made himself to be the Son of God. Of course, why did they not know it? Since they brought up the law, why did they not know it? We just saw it, just these few scriptures. We just took out three scriptures and we saw it, didn't we? It's a whole heap of more. See? In fulfillment of prophecy in relationship to understanding what is the will of God. Let's pick back up verse 8 next week. I don't have time. It's almost over with. And we'll pick back up, okay? All right? Let me do one more thing, and I forgot the scripture. Go back to verse 2. Where I tied in Genesis 3, 17, 18, and then Revelation 19 and verse number 16. And let's go to Galatians 3. That's one more. I'm going over to Galatians 3:13. I'm going to tie that in with it too, okay? Because in Galatians 3:13, you know, Genesis 3, 17, 18, and Revelation 19, 16, I'm going to tie in Galatians, okay? I'll talk about it a little bit more next week. But Galatians 3, we'll look at right quick in verse 13. And tie all those back in, okay? Because Galatians 3:13, we studied in Galatians on Sunday morning. He said, Christ has redeemed, that's that word, Sean. Right? S and N green stamp. That was a good lesson, brother. What did he say? When you redeem them S and N, you got to go back to the one who's the giver. How come you couldn't take them stamps anywhere? Son? We filled our books up. Why couldn't we just take them anywhere to redeem them? Did it want what? Well, any is good as nothing, ain't it? You see the point? See, they ain't going on. See, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Right? Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses to everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now think about this here, and we're going to talk about it next week. Why would anybody want to hold on to something that's dead? That curses. Or think about this here. Because of the law, we've been made free. Through what? Redemption. Amen? Why? Because, see, you go on to verse number 23. I go on to verse 24. He says, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto what? Christ. See, not to hang on to it, but to bring about redemption. And we'll talk about it a little bit more next week, okay? All right. All right, brethren. Look here. Saturday at 9 o'clock, we have our training class, and we'll have our men's business meeting. And Terry, what we got to have bring for next week? If you got the handout from last time, bring it back Saturday. Also, let's continue to pray for Mr. Norris Hamilton. Yes. He's a friend of a co-worker of Sister Dunn. And he had a stroke, real bad stroke. And also, want to pray for him. I hope you've been praying for Mr. Crawford. You know, we found out he got stage 4 lung cancer. And we'll remember him in our prayers. Let's continue to pray for Miss Alberta and their family over there. Pops died Monday. And I don't know his name. Everybody else called him Pops. I called him Pops, too. But he passed away on Monday. And we'll remember the family in our prayers. And all the names, Michelle, Brother Goodwin, Paul out the hospital. Let's pray for him. He got out Monday. All the sick and shut in. John, he's out of town. He's in West Virginia. And let's pray for him and pray for Kathy. And when Kathy walked in, Kathy didn't pay no attention. Doris and back doing like this him. She was telling John to come on. Sean, you got to help. Y'all cut that off. Yeah. Afraid to be here, been jumped up by now. Cut it off when you got off. Let's hit the switch. We know it all.